fuck you! Australia! Germany! Africa!
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we go on this, the 17th day of August, 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that's where you go to click on the tab that says chat room and jump right in and, well, be greeted by the denizens of the madcap, merry, zany multimedia real-time extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. You'll get a big hello from Hoghead, Jeremy in Vermont, Jug of Punch, Laborman, Steve from Georgistan, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator, Sparky, who, although a third stage guild navigator, has once again failed to fold space for either a want of spice or an abundance of wisdom, being how the man cave is right toasty these days. Yes, indeed. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and it is, like I said, the 17th day of August, 2016. The 17th day of August, 2016, falling on, curiously enough, a Wednesday. And Wednesdays are, well, more than just, you know, the middle of the week, more than just downhill to Friday, more than just hump day, if you will. Nope. Prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, brethren and sistren. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, it is. A couple of technical difficulties here in the pulpit. It is prayer meeting Wednesday, brethren and sistren. It most assuredly is. Acolyte Ferg just had to walk back into the studio for a minute. But we had ourselves, I just want you to know, we had ourselves, brethren and sistren, a lovely, lovely meal there in the fellowship hall downstairs in the basement of the Cathedral of Common Sense. Oh, yeah. The little old blue-haired ladies did what they seldom do. You know, they generally stick with the classics, if you will, of Southern cuisine, but it's something, I don't know, something about August, but something got a bee under their bonnet and a burr under their saddle, and they decided to get all ethnic-y. I think that's the term they use. They decided to get all ethnic-y, and they made baked spaghetti for our fellowship hall supper. And I mean to tell you what, it was some kind of good. Oh, mercy sakes, they use that, not that big old nasty spaghetti noodles, but little itty-bitty fine ones that get mixed in with the sauce so good. And of course, they made their own sauce, and being upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing Baptist to a T, there wasn't no wine in the sauce, but mercy, it was good. It was full of hamburger and ground-up Italian sausage and green peppers and onions and mushrooms and what have you, And they worked it all together and they put it in the pans and they covered it in the mozzarella cheese and whoo, they baked it and you want to talk about tasty. Mm-hmm. And they made fresh baked garlic bread too from scratch. They can still knead some dough, the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Cathedral of Common Sense there. You do not want to get sideways at one of them because the backhand is furious because they knead that dough with their very own little old blue-haired lady hands. I don't mean they got blue hair on their hands, but you get the idea. Yes, they do. And none of that bread in a bag business, none of that stuff from the frozen food section. No, they made this themselves. They crushed the garlic. They melted the butter. They brushed it on. Oh, heavenly days. It was some kind of good. Of course, we try to take into account, brethren and sister, and the gluten frees. So there was also a beta fried chicken out there. No flouring or nothing. Just thrown in an iron skillet. And even so, it was good. I was told by our gluten-free portion of our congregation. Alongside those green beans and mashed potatoes, brethren and sister. Gravy, gluten-free, of course, made with ground quinoa for the mashed potatoes and the chicken. And fresh baked apple pie and homemade vanilla ice cream. All the children's Sunday school of the Cathedral of Common Sense cranked mighty hard on that vanilla ice cream. Never got to taste enough of it. That's how not a lick. That's how we inspire them to grow up and become deacons. And I mean, you know, it even though the temperatures have moderated a mite here, the humidity is merciless. So there was gallons and gallons and gallons of sweet iced tea consumed. And that nice little bowl of lemon wedges there. They ain't nothing that the little old blue-haired ladies don't think of come Fellowship Hall, Fellowship Dinner Wednesday. So, as you can well imagine, the deacons jumped on that apple pie with its flaky homemade crust. Jumped on the vanilla ice cream. And then slowly ambled up the stairs and out into the parking lot where they have spent the last about half hour or so out there smoking with the sinners under the pretext of witnessing to them. Yes. But you know what? When they see Sister Carol Baker coming with the cattle prod with the reasonably fresh batteries in it, they jump too. And I mean, she didn't even have to make it beep before they were trundling through the doors, through the vestibule, past that newly replenished bowl of desiccated butter mints, down the center aisle and down front where they're waiting for me. And I got my flit gun. They took away my original flit, you know, the flit with the DDT in it. But I got the nozzle dialed down tight in case they start to doze or anything. I can wake them up right quick. But right now, they're kind of perky. And they know, as well as anybody else, they know how much of that sweet tea got consumed. And consequently, whether you noticed it or not, they done locked the doors to the cathedral. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to pass the plate, brethren and sistren. Because it's been a tough week at the Horn. And the fundraising goal for this evening, as they prepare to pass the plate around, as we prepare for the offertory prayer and the offertory hymn, the fundraising goal for the evening, brethren and sistren, is $360. Not one day this week have we met our fundraising goal. Not one. And so the doors have been locked, And we love you with the love of God and everything, but they gonna stay locked, and that plate's gonna keep passing. At least that's what the chief deacon told me. Brother Deacon Gerald from the Building and Grounds Committee standing there. Brother Deacon Ace is standing there. He gonna pass. They gonna pass it, and when it gets to the end, they gonna turn around and bring it right back. That's right. That's right. So, with every head bowed and every eye closed, brethren and sistren, we're gonna do the offertory. Every head bowed, heck, glory, and every head, eye, something, legs crossed and eyes closed and the toenails nicely trimmed. Just keep an eye cracked open there as the plate comes by you, brethren and sister, and press that little PayPal button down in the bottom. You'll also notice we've provided envelopes pre-addressed to the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, WV 25801. Just in case anybody would like to mail it in, as it were, and I will notify Archbishop Bossman Wayne, who will be thrilled. He won't wear his vestments in because they're too easily into the UPS store there, because they're too easily confused with Klan robes. But he will. He'll be thrilled. So, brethren and sistren, I'm going to call the minister of music up. We're going to start them plates of passing. $360. That's what we're trying to raise here. That's one at $360, two at $180, four at $90, eight at $45, 16 at $22.50, 32 at $11.25. You get the idea. It ain't that difficult, brethren and sisters. It ain't that difficult. So, brother minister of music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say,
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ah, ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, bo, la, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren, to Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Ha! Glory. I am a calling upon you now. As the plate continues to pass around the room, as it has thus far continued to ring holler, I am calling upon you to get up out of your seat, up onto your feet, ha, glory, and come on out. Come on out from the pews and come on down that blood red aisle and fall upon your knees. Fall in reverence. Help. And lay your hands upon the subwoofer here at the altar. I am Arch Pope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday in the Cathedral of Common Sense. And brethren and sistren, ho! Amen, glory. It's not just any Prayer Meeting Wednesday. No! Hallelujah. Amen. It is Antichrist Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Yes, yes. Brethren and sisters, the gift of prophecy has been visited upon the blessed, blessed, blessed ministers of His holy word. Amen. Hallelujah. Ha! Glory. Let us turn now. Let us turn now for an appreciation and an understanding of Bible prophecy. Heck! To a recent installment of the Jim Baker Show. Amen. Glory. At least that part of the Jim Baker Show where he was not a hustling brown bucket pudding. Nor none of that lumpy business that I'm not... Oh, Jesus, no, please don't send the apocalypse, because I don't want to eat that stuff. Amen, glory, hallelujah. But they took time out from hustling bucket supper to talk about the Antichrist. The Antichrist foretold of yore, hallelujah, amen, in Holy Scripture. Oh, brethren and sister, the gift of discernment has descended upon Sister Alveda King. Mm-hmm. Sister Alveda done got it all figured out. Amen and amen. Pay attention. Maybe get the hockey puck. You can never really tell where the gifts of the Holy Spirit will lead.
Mrs. Hillary Clinton recently said, I am paraphrasing, but look it up. She said, basically, Christians and religious people in America need to set aside their religious beliefs and serve secular humanism. And in that point, she was saying abortion or the thing with ISIS.
We can't do that.
And she really has said, we are going to have to learn in America to set aside our religious beliefs. And so I was saying, what she's really saying is, usher in the Antichrist. I mean,
wow.
Basically, and she actually did say that, her running mate for the vice president,
Tim,
it's a very deceptive thing, so I pray that people are really listening. He'll even say, oh, I personally am not for abortion, but I'm going to uphold the law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that if she appoints those Supreme Court justices, they will open the borders, more terrorists will come across the borders.
Brethren and sisters, I don't have the gift of discernment here, and I'm having a little trouble. Is she saying that Hillary's going to let the Antichrist in through the open borders who are going to perform terrorist abortions? Because as a long-time glory, hallelujah, practitioner of the art of word knowing, I think that's what she done said.
There will be more disrespect to Israel.
Yes.
The issue of marriage and family will further degrade. More and more money will go to Planned Parenthood. That is the full agenda.
Got to be some Antichrist in there somewhere, don't they? I reckon. Go and sin no more, Brother Usher Steve. Got a note. Sorry, I'm late, Bishop. I was stuck in traffic. Well, your faith must not have been strong enough, Brother Usher Steve, for the traffic would have parted before ye. But Brother Usher Steve says, I have the gift of discernment. That woman is a fucking moron. Praise the flying spaghetti monster. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Praise his blessed name. Now, here, just in case you're wondering, here is what your Holy Spirit gift of discernment will do for you. Because I just happen to have here, courtesy of the folks over to the Right Wing Watch, I have a transcript of what it was that Sister Alveda King said that she said. Now I'm paraphrasing, but it's basically what she said. And then you heard what she basically said. Now here's the actual transcript of what the devil done actually said, which done got Holy Spirit discernment all over it. Yes, we've nearly closed the global gender gap in primary school, but secondary school remains out of reach for so many girls around the world. Yes, we've increased the number of count of countries prohibiting domestic violence, but still more than half the nations in the world have no such laws on the books, and an estimated 1 in 3 women still experience violence. Yes, we've cut the mortality rate in half, but far too many women are still denied critical access to reproductive health care and safe childbirth. All the laws we've passed don't count for much if they're not enforced. Rights have to exist in practice, not just on paper. Laws have to be backed up with resources and political will and deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed. As I have said, and as I believe, the advancement of the full participation of women and girls in every aspect of their societies is the great unfinished business of the 21st century. And not just for women, but for everyone else. And not just the faraway countries, but right here in the United States. That's a lot of discernment. She said, quoting Dr., God knows she couldn't put a Band-Aid on somebody without killing them, Dr. Alveda King. She said, basically, Christians and religious people in America need to set aside their religious beliefs and serve secular humanism. And in that point, she was saying abortion or the thing with ISIS. And she really has said that we're going to have to learn in America to set aside our religious beliefs. And so I was saying what she's really saying is ushering the Antichrist. She actually did say that. Is there not a single verse in Dr. Alveda King's Bible about bearing false witness against your neighbor, even if your neighbor happens to be Hillary, the devil, Clinton? Because I'm guessing that's pretty far beyond. That's pretty far beyond the Holy Spirit power of discernment. That's more like the Holy Spirit power of making shit up as you go along. And apparently, Brother Usher Steve, subject line: Sister Velveeta King and her brother Monterey Jack. Oh, you're going to burn, you're going to burn, you're going to burn, you're going to burn, Usher Steve, you're going to burn. But we'll be right there with you, just toasting along, just merrily. Heathens roasting. Never mind, I was singing. Kim in New York City. Oi, be careful, Bob. You're going to bust a vocal cord mimicking Hillary Clinton. She definitely needs a speech therapist. Oh, I love it when people get the joke. Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. Yes, Marty. Marty asking, is that Ms. King's, that's Ms. Dr. King to you, Buster, supposed to be MLK's niece? Yes, she is. She's the, she's the king the other kings don't really talk much about. You know, she often doesn't get the invites to family reunions and whatnot. Being how she despises gay people and trans people and people having abortions and people who perform abortions and that ISIS thing, as she called it, and Hillary and Democrats. And she couldn't come right out there with Jim Baker. There might have been some Catholics watching who wanted to buy a bucket of food. But I'm sure she doesn't think much of Tim Kaine, being how he's one of them papists. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's her. Note coming in from Ron and Raleigh, subject line, the darndest thing. I just got home after a trip to the store where I walked up behind one of those Kia cubes. On the rear window, there were three stickers. Upper left, Veterans for Trump. Bottom left, Kasich for us. On the bottom right, Bernie for President. Talk about cognitive dissonance. Well, they probably indicated the relative position inside the Kia cube for each person holding that particular political philosophy. That's the best I could figure, given, I mean, that's what my Holy Spirit power of discernment tells me, Ron. Yeah. Marty said, are you doing the Garrett Morris reporting for the hard of hearing thing back in the old SNL, back when it was actually funny? No, that was Hillary. Close as I can get. Brushes with Greatness. Sister Carol Baker pointing out, I went toe-to-toe with Ms. King years ago on a radio show over the lies she was telling about Planned Parenthood exterminating black babies. I came at her with facts and shit, and the host, who was sympathetic, mysteriously experienced a dropped call in the middle of me calling her a liar. I don't play well with others sometimes, Sister Carol notes. Well, sometimes you just can't. How do you play nice with one of these Christian liars? It's kind of what I was talking about the other night, talking about the desperate need for somebody to upbraid Trump, some real journalist who would be wealthy enough to be able to walk away from it all and just say, my work here is finished, to call security, you know, in the middle of the interview, just look at him and say, you know, you're an idiot, and you're a fool, but you're dangerous, you're a Cataline. And I'm going to ask studio security to escort you out of the building right now and make sure you never, ever, ever come back, you goddamned idiot. Sometimes it's the only way. Because both sides do it-ism and false equivalence-ism has led us to where we are here. And the ongoing pretense that, well, you know, I mean, Donald Trump's he's just a presidential candidate like any other presidential candidate, you know. I mean, just that's all. It's not true. He's a stage 5 metastasizing cancer on the American body politic and the overall attempt at self-government. He is the antithesis of, you know, every good impulse that can be discerned from the documents which provide the founding of this flawed, but perhaps still savable, country. But like I said, it's Antichrist night here in the Cathedral of Common Sense, and I'm proud to say we haven't been able to unlock the cathedral doors yet, But we have knocked down, sorta. Well, we knocked it down to 355, courtesy of Jeremy in Vermont, and then Steve from Georgistan let me know that Cletus, you know, she's a good girl. Cletus is, oh, she's a baby. Cletus wanted to issue a $15 milkbone fund challenge, and so Cletus is going to get Cletus is going to kick in her milkbone money for the week if somebody else will match her $15. So I mean that's pretty nice of Cletus. I mean, greater love hath no pup than she would give up her. You get it because it's prayer meeting Wednesday. Right. So, the doors remain locked, the plate continues to pass. And if Cletus' challenge is met, that will take us down to $325 to go, hopefully. Well, and hopefully it'll get knocked down further from there. But yes, it is Antichrist Wednesday here in the Cathedral of Common Sense. I don't know. I think they've got a big fax machine somewhere, and it just goes to all the right wing religion industry hustlers and parasites on the commons. And so we have to check in with proud son of Stanford, helmet haired Brian Fisher of the American Family Association Radio Network of Tupelo, Mazzuppistan. Mm-hmm. And he, too, has a Holy Spirit gift of discernment about the Antichrist. I'm sure it will come to no surprise to you to know that, he's getting the same Antichrist vibes as Sister Velveeta King.
Hillary Clinton is not a friend of religious liberty. In fact, she is hostile to religious liberty. She's an enemy of religious liberty. There's a profound anti-Christian impulse in Hillary Clinton. I would go so far as to call it a profound anti-Christ impulse. The same spirit that will one day animate the Antichrist is the same spirit that is at work in Hillary Clinton.
Quick question. I understand here that Dr. Velveeta King and helmet-haired Brian Fisher, proud son of Stanford, I understand that they're all worked up into a righteous white right-wing rage, which is kind of tough for Sister Velveeta, but she manages. But you'll note they do all this completely blowing right past Hillary's long stated, never disavowed, even go so far as to say ballyhooed, Methodist upbringing and Methodist faith. Now, your Methodists are not known as being libertine practitioners of hedonistic Epicureanism. No, hell no. But this is worth noting because, you know, I have said it on a number of occasions that As a non-Christian, I can't do anything about the alleged Christianity of a turd on two legs like Brian Fisher. Only Christianity can. And in those first 24 seconds of that clip, brethren and sistren, proud son of Stanford, helmet-haired Brian Fisher, jumps right out there and essentially declares that Hillary Clinton is not only anti-Christian, but anti-Christ. By extension, is he arguing the same thing about the United Methodist Church in toto? And what confers upon him the authority to make that declaration? And if, in point of fact, he can make that declaration, then why, in the name of Jesus, will the saner practitioners of Christianity not take steps to declare that this man is no follower of Christ and will have no participation in the blissful afterlife which they preach? As long as it continues, all they're doing is devaluing their own currency. Now, I'm no Christian and will not be counted among their number, specifically because of the Brian Fishers and the Velveeta Kings and the Jim Bakers and the Pat Robertsons and the James Robisons and the Joyce Myers and the Creflo Dollars and the Kenneth Copelands and the Jimmy Swaggerts and the Billy Grahams and the Franklin Grahams and the Oral Robertses. I will not be counted among their number because of them. Their own holy book tells them not to be stumbling blocks to other potential believers, but the stumbling blocks are there, and they are apparently immovable objects, and will remain so because there is no interest in providing an irresistible force with which to contest them. A note coming in. Cat Stevens has seen Cletus's $15 milk bone money challenge and raised it with his pounce money to $20 and calls on other members of the furry and four-footed members of the Horn Family Community Congregation to do the same. Thank you, Cat Stevens. The sacrifice is real. Jeremy in Vermont mentioned earlier as well. Can I get a few to stand with me? Hopefully you can. And a lot of them may be standing right there in front of the door of the cathedral waiting for it to be unlocked. You have no idea how many gallons of tea the congregation went through. But one other thing. One other thing about this antichrist, and we are not done with this. But one other thing about this business with the proud son of Stanford helmet-headed Brian Fisher. Amen, Anatole in the chat room, and the Robert Tiltons. But isn't he dead? Well, I mean, so is Oral Roberts, but it must have been a real bitch for Oral Roberts to wait. It's kind of warm down here. What am I? Jesus! Why are you standing outside the gates and teasing me with ice cubes, Jesus? But I put to you a question. And a question about the rhetoric involved. I want to go back for a minute and just review those first 24 seconds, if I may.
Hillary Clinton is not a friend of religious liberty. In fact, she is hostile to religious liberty. She's an enemy of religious liberty. There's a profound anti-Christian impulse in Hillary Clinton. I would go so far as to call it a profound anti-Christ impulse. The same spirit that will one day animate the Antichrist is the same spirit that is at work in Hillary Clinton.
Now, if you're one of the soft-headed people who tune in, proud son of Stanford helmet-haired Brian Fisher every day, odds are you're also probably one of those people who own some of the 310 million or more firearms in the United States of America. And people take their religion powerful seriously. And we have seen, and the framers of the Constitution and the Founding Fathers remarked upon and created the separation between church and state and created a secular government specifically because of the violence that state-sponsored religion had foisted upon Europe over the ages. And the bloodbath that state-sponsored religion had unleashed. So, isn't this a rather dangerous rhetoric? And when you get right down to it, if somebody is hostile to your religion, isn't a declaration like that essentially a declaration of... hostile to religion... He's hostile to Hillary Clinton. Because this is all classic evangelical fundamentalist, amosexual, dog whistle code. I am of the firmly convinced opinion that just as people like Brian Fisher spent the better part of eight years trying for all their worth to get somebody to go and attack this president. They are now setting up the attempt to prey upon the mind of a potential killer to go after the woman who may be the next one. And you know, even if you're one of those people who hollers about Hitlery and shrillery and killery, and you don't want that, because that way lies madness. But nonetheless, it's hard to hear this enemy of religion talk and not realize that's exactly what we're hearing. This is onward Christian soldiers, damn Skippy. Brian Fisher, in the name of his God, is trying to gin up an assassin from within the Christian ranks of his followers. And of course, it's not just Brian Fisher. It goes out from pulpits all across the United States every blessed Sunday and Sunday nights and Wednesdays and whenever the doors open and Saturdays for the Seventh-day Adventurers, what have you. Somewhere in this country, there is always someone trying to incite Christian violence against people that they proclaim to be the enemy. But do let's continue.
She opposes Christ. She opposes biblical Christianity. She's hostile to it. She seeks to repress it. She seeks to punish it. And she seeks to stifle it. That is the spirit of the Antichrist, and it is at work in Hillary Clinton.
See? What, I mean, what do you do with a person like that? It's not enough just to say, ah, well, you know. I mean, she is all those things. I mean, if all you're doing is saying that, you're not. It doesn't mean anything. And don't think for a minute that Brian Fisher doesn't know that. I mean, do you? Of course you do. Do you comprehend how the depth, the depraved depth of the yearning for violence that is inherent in the words that that man is speaking? Marty says, and should someone heed Brian Fisher's words and carry those acts, he and all the rest of them will deny responsibility for inciting their followers to violence. Right, because they'll hide behind the little lace skirts of the First Amendment and claim that there was no way that they could ever have foreseen that some insane person would hear their words, take one of the guns that are easily available all over the country, and, you know, go out and, you know, squeeze off a round or 100. Can you imagine the joyful celebration that this filthy merchant of death, this acolyte of a death cult, would engage in if such a thing were to take place? But don't, there's more.
Ladies and gentlemen, hear me when I say this. Hillary Clinton is motivated by the spirit of the Antichrist because she is against Christ. She's against Christianity. She is against the free exercise of the Christian faith. She doesn't want the Christian faith to be a part of the public square, to be influence public policy in any way. She's against everything in public policy. She's against everything that Christianity stands for. She is for same-sex marriage. She is for the promotion of homosexuality. She is against the sanctity of human life. She is against religious liberty. So the fundamental issues when it comes to sanctity of life, marriage, and religious liberty, Hillary Clinton is on the wrong side. She is an opponent of all that is good and right and noble.
Well, what do you do about somebody like that, huh? I mean, really? Anything? I mean, is there a peaceful, nonviolent interpretation of this? I mean, Brian Fisher has just sat there and said that Hillary Clinton is a direct threat to people's ability to freely practice their religion. Never mind the fact that he's lying through his miserable teeth. Evangelical fundamentalist homosexuals do that all the time. But we here in this little family community congregation, We happy few. We have the luxury, I suppose, of being able to look at this stuff in depth and understand it for what it is. You got Trump out there saying that maybe the Second Amendment people can take care of Hillary. You got this. You got Al Baldessaro from New Hampshire saying that Hillary should be shot. Who, interestingly, has doubled down. And has suggested that somehow or another his remarks were misconstrued. Yeah, Al Baldessaro. Direct quote. The liberal media took what I said and went against the law and the Constitution and ran with it, and they said I wanted her assassinated, which I never did. I said I spoke as a veteran and she should be shot in a firing squad for treason. We are engaged in bearing witness to an experiment in statistics. What we're watching here is a question of how much of this stuff can be flooded across America freely with no consequences whatsoever before the truly awful transpires. Now, I know. Brother Deacon Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee says, wait a minute, I thought Obama was the Antichrist. No, he's the Antchrist. What the right wing? Make up your damn minds. Well, they'd have to have a mind first to make it up. Al Baldessaro has been running around for months giving vent to his masturbatory fantasy of the killing of Hillary Clinton. And he isn't kidding. That's why he doubled down. He means it. And I find it terrifying. Under the subject line, maybe, Ron and Raleigh writes, how about this? You want me to shoot that anti-Christian dead, Mr. Fisher? Would that pep you up some? Apologies, Ron says, to Blazing Saddles. And we're witnesses to this. And we're watching helplessly as people, well-funded, some of them perhaps millionaires, twist and pervert the First Amendment guarantee of free speech into an open call for assassinations. And again, we're helpless. I mean, this Baldessaro creep has called for her to be killed something like three times now, and he still hasn't been hauled away in handcuffs. As David in South Carolina reminds us, it is terrifying. The same folks and others urged that Dr. Tiller be killed. They were never charged. night after night after night after night, Bill O'Reilly called him Tiller the Killer, Tiller the Killer, Tiller the Killer, Tiller the Killer. Until somebody finally took action. You're right, David. You're right. I mean, if you thought the last 8 years were ugly, if you find it difficult to conceive how uglier the next four will be, strap in. Because as difficult as it is to believe, it is going to be uglier. Because they have been after her for 25 years, and if she beats them again, it will drive them into what is already right next door to a homicidal frenzy. You remember years ago? Oh, what was his name? He had a bookshelf full of right-wing hate. And he decided that since he could never get to those liberals that Bernie Goldberg had declared were ruining America, people like Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton, that he would take out the people who were supporting them. And so he went and shot up a children's theater production inside a Unitarian congregation in Knoxville, Tennessee. I can't forget that stuff. Let's stick around here for a minute. Let's stick around with proud son of Stanford helmet-headed Brian Fisher. It's not enough that she's anti-Christian and anti-Christ and an enabler of the Antichrist. She is a direct offense, you see, to the very world order ordained by the Almighty God whom he worships.
You know, and I think you can make a pretty good biblical case. That's what I happen to believe. You know, I'm not saying that there's one verse in the Bible you can go to that says definitively that only men are supposed to hold political office, but that's always the pattern in the Word of God. The kings were all males. When you had a departure from that with Jezebel and Athaliah was not a good thing, did not work out well. Leadership in the church is reserved for men. Leadership in the home is reserved for men. In other words, in God's economy, he has designed leadership and authority in society and in the church and in the home to be exercised by men. You know, you had one female judge, that was Deborah, and she only got sucked into that because the men were such wimps. And she told them, look, because of the way you're going about this, you're dragging me into this war to be your kind of lucky rabbit's foot. And because you're doing it that way, the honor for this battle is going to go to a woman. You've given up your opportunity to receive the honor that justly goes to warriors who vindicate themselves on the field of battle. So I think you can make a good case that leadership in culture, society, politically, as well as in the home, that is something in God's economy that's reserved for men. Now, I understand that there are Christians out there who disagree with me. I'm not speaking for anybody but myself. You know, when I've verbalized these things before, I've just gotten blistered. I mean, I know a little bit about what Jeremy's talking about. Is that I just get blistered for saying this anytime it happens. So maybe Jeremy's wondering, what if somebody had the courage, you know, to go on national TV, somebody of some kind of prominence or visibility, and said, look, I'm going to vote for Trump because he's a man. I don't believe that women should be entrusted with high political office. See what would happen to him. That's the position I happen to take. Nobody's asked me what I think about that. But his question is, what happens if somebody says that in public? And my guess is they would get crucified to within an inch of their very lives.
Damn, they can't get away from their little dirty little persecution fantasies, can they? God's economy? God's economy? And by the way, from a stylistic standpoint, as you heard that clip, something to think about. I get a lot of grief, and it's good-natured, for the pauses I take in this program and the pace of my speaking. I'm not in a hurry. I don't know. Maybe y'all are. Maybe some of you are. But people talk about the fact that, you know, there are pauses in this program you can drive a truck through. And there are. You know why? Because I'm thinking. Because I don't have this scripted out. I don't have 50 pages of script that I just read every night. I have ideas, and I like to expand upon them. And one of the keys to coming up with something hopefully cogent is that one thinks about them before they go running out of one's mouth eater. And so that's how I operate. But notice how fast this guy talks. He's doing that. I mean, it's the same way. It's the same way any hustler works. Talk fast. Suck them in. Don't give them time to think. Just one little note there. But what? There's something decidedly wrong with a mindset that says that the social structure of a culture 3,000 years ago that was baffled by things like thunder and lightning and rain, that thought natural phenomena were the natural, logical even, results of the displeasure of the god. Are somehow even remotely valid in our modern lives. Now, there are some truths that are applicable across time and space. What did Hillel say? A practitioner of the very faith that Brian Fisher is co-opting. They asked Hillel, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, don't do to other people things that you would hate to have done to you. The rest of it's commentary. I think. Pretty close. Every culture comes up with a basic set of rules. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. Don't kill other people. Worship the gods. Don't offend the culture. There's nothing special about that enumeration of rules in the Old Testament, which, of course, was first written down during the Babylonian exile somewhere around 500 BC. I mean, the whole Adam, Eve, Genesis thing, it all gets written down in Babylon. But the minutiae, the idea that the women are unfit for governmental service, the idea, or military for that matter, the ancient Greeks, oh, there he goes again, had a legend of the Amazons. They were women who were so mean and so pissed off that they'd slice off a tit to keep it from getting in the way of their archery skills. And the Greek warriors who went into battle as naked as they were as the day they were born, with everything just flopping in the breeze, lived in mortal terror of them. They were said to live up around the shores of the Black Sea somewhere. But nonetheless, as Brother Deacon Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee notes, yeah, you got that, you skirts? God says that men are supposed to be in charge. Now, go and make a sandwich for some man. I mean, if that's God's economy, what does it mean to be a woman? I mean, it's like as soon as you become self-aware and I'm a woman. Well, nothing but a shitty life for the rest of my days for me. And you know what? The devil was talking about in that quote that Dr. Velveeta King said. Basically, she said, even though she didn't, because Velveeta King is a liar. She didn't quite say it very artfully. The devil isn't very good at saying things artfully. She's a lot better on paper. But the fact of the matter remains, the mark of a successful culture, the mark of a happy planet, we have determined. I mean, this is scientifically determined, not based on some goddamn Ouija board or reading letters backwards in that were backwards in the first, but whatever. The mark of a happy planet, the mark of a happy culture, of a successful culture, can be determined almost entirely by one thing. How free are that culture's women? To what degree do women in that culture have autonomy over their own lives and their own bodies? When that degree of autonomy is high, the culture is happy and successful. When it is low, the whole culture is nasty and brutish. And is this nastiness and this brutishness that people like Brian Fisher would foist upon an already retrograde America? courtesy of Marty. Next obligatory Star Trek reference. Your pauses. I thought you were imitating how William Shatner spoke as James T. Kirk. No, you'll know when I'm doing that, because there's a lilt to it. Steve, you may not catch up. Email coming from Brother Usher Steve in New York. I got a phone call, so I'm behind. I heard the part about Hillary being the Antichrist, so I guess Obama was just the Antichrist. Hillary's the full-on Antichrist. Bob, I'm confused. There's really no way not to be, Steve. Don't feel bad. It's not you. It's me. Brother Deacon Gerald noting, I can honestly not understand why anyone, especially women and minorities, would vote for a Republican. I don't think I'll ever understand why so many do. Yeah, I think there's an argument to be made, Gerald, that it's a matter of the power of religious ideology. Your heart may yearn to be free. Your heart may know what the right answers are. But you got somebody out there telling you that the God says that everything that you think to be right is inherently offensive unto him. Best I got. Sorry. We've still got more prayer meeting Wednesday, without a doubt. Wow. Thanks very kindly to Pam in Missouri. We just went a long way toward getting out of the hole and getting those cathedral doors unlocked. People are getting a mite cranky. We now have only $140 to go to close the fundraising gap. 10 at 14, 14 at 10, 1 at 140, 2 at 70, 4 at 35, 8 at 1750. Not going any further from there. But thank you very, very kindly, Pam. Very kindly indeed. Meanwhile, in order to close the remainder of that gap, a note from Building and Grounds Chairman Deacon Brother Gerald. I stand here before the congregation a witness to the Almighty God on high. I stand here with an offering to match. The first $10 subscriber to come down that blood-red aisle holding up the blood-stained banner of the Lord. Brethren and sistren, the Lord is calling unto you. And I have just one question for you, brethren and sistren. Are you listening? Offer valid through prayer meeting Wednesday. So the next brand new subscriber gets your first month subscription doubled. And we are in need of subscribers. One of these days, we're going to have, 400 of them, and I'm never going to have to do this part again, which will be freaking awesome. So the next brand new subscriber gets your subscription doubled. Thank you, Brother Deacon Gerald. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, break. Yes, break. At 11 minutes past the hour, and like I said, still more prayer meeting Wednesday, or anything else that you care to talk about. Quick note before we go to the break. Quick note coming in from David in South Carolina, Stan. I still regret the people I did not get to meet last year when I was actually down there. Berg and I went down for the race at Darlington. David's been listening for just about since we went on the air in terrestrial radio in Beckley and started streaming. David says, I remember always being involved in local politics, even had a few Republican and Libertarian friends way back then. By the way, we actually had a branch of Libertarians who were solely interested in legalizing all drugs and never ventured into that U of Chicago economic bullshit a la Milton Friedman. We all had yard signs, bumper stickers, and T-shirts for our respective candidates. We could even engage in debate on issues. However, those days are long gone around here. I would not consider a yard sign, nor bumper sticker, nor T-shirt. I value my own life, my daughter's lives, and my grandchildren's lives. I only had one Bill Clinton sign stolen back in 1996. I had three Barack Obama signs stolen in 2008. By 2012, things were getting far too mean around here to risk putting up signs. I sure as hell would not do it these days. I live in a rural area off a two-lane blacktop, and it would be far too easy for some fool set my home on fire, blow up the mailbox, vandalize cars, or shoot up my home from the road. The thrill is gone from politics for me. It is simply too dangerous. And see, that's how the right wing operates. I understand everything that David just wrote because there won't be any yard signs in my yard. No bumper stickers on my car. Whoa, hell no. Can't afford the tires. And that's by design. It's supposed to be that way. Once they have enforced silence, then the only thing any people will hear is their truth. Funny that somehow doesn't quite jibe with freedom much, does it? No. Not hardly. Yeah, I remember. David says, of all the weekends, I was on my way to Princeton when y'all came here. I remember that very well. All right, break time. Yeah, we'll keep the plate a passing. Subscriber challenge on the table, courtesy of Brother Deacon Gerald. And $140 to go to finish the evening and come even in the middle of the week. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Past the hour on this prayer meeting Wednesday, the 17th day of August, 2016. Yeah, from you're right, Steve from Georgistan, from Shakedown Street. The Grateful Dead need a miracle. I can't tell you how many times and how many different locations I remember hearing that phrase as someone walked around the park. Need a miracle, man. Need a miracle. Need a miracle. Need two tickets. Two tickets. Need a miracle. Yeah. Okay, so this is just a little something to throw out there to ponder. Probably not a lot of people are going to be, I don't know, I don't watch the for-profit media TV anymore, so it's kind of hard for me to say. I don't know what kind of coverage is this ad, but just going by past practices, I mean, over the weekend, Chicken Noodle News couldn't even be bothered to mention the massive flooding in Louisianistan. No, really. On the other hand, however, and okay, we're not going to gloat. We are not going to gloat. This being, I'm going to get back to the thing that had nothing to do with anything else in a minute, but we are so not going to gloat. But you remember all the many, many, many times that we've referenced Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Perkins of the Family Research Council. He's another one of these Christian Taliban theocrats who isn't going to be happy until everybody believes exactly his way. He's a sick little hustler who uses the First Amendment as a life support system for his particular installment in the religion industry. Well, Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates Perkins lives in Louisianistan. And you may recall yesterday evening I had to conjure up Jim in Louisianistan just to make sure he and Mama were okay. He and Mother Garrison. And that's because there are a lot of people in Louisianistan who aren't okay. Well, guess what? The great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky who hates homosexuals and homosexual marriage and trans people and is weirdly obsessed with where people go poo poo and pee pee. Well, damned if he didn't flood Tony Norman.
Yes, Mother Bates
Perkins right out of his own house. No, really, Tony told everybody about it when he called in. He literally phoned it in to let everybody at the Family Research Council know what was going on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go, Tony.
Thank you for downloading this special edition podcast of Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins.
But we're not downloading.
You can find out more about Family Research Council and the Washington Watch radio programs when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Never mind.
I'm sure all of you have been watching the news, and you have been seeing the disaster unfolding in the great state of Louisiana.
See, that's the thing. They haven't been watching because, well, the for-profit media have sort of just let that unfolding disaster slide by.
Probably like me, enjoy visiting Louisiana. Wonderful people, wonderful food, a wonderful culture down there. But they've just been devastated by torrential rains and floods there, overflowing rivers, and a lot of people have been negatively impacted. It's been in this
negative
season. People tend to talk politics wall to wall.
Oh, shut up for a minute.
Millions of our fellow.
negatively impacted. Weasel speak has gotten all the way down into the bowels of the religion industry. Negatively impacted. They've been flooded out of their homes. They've lost everything they have. Negatively impacted. And, hey, you know, we're 59 seconds in and still no thoughts and prayers.
With daily physical needs, including food, water, and shelter. And down in Louisiana, they're being devastated by the impact of this storm. And it is tremendously ironic that one of the individuals impacted is actually the normal host of this show, Mr. Tony Perkins himself.
He sure throws that word normal around like it applies. The normal host of our show has... Wait a minute. Has he ever listened to the program? I mean, there ain't nothing normal about Tony Norman. Yes, Mother Bates. Perkins. I mean, a normal person, for instance, back in 2005. Never mind. A normal person doesn't get all hung up on where people... eliminate their bodily wastes, just for starters. A normal person doesn't feel like an invisible sky being has told him to tell every woman on the planet how to manage the workings of her own body. Normal? Normal? Norman?
Whose home has been overrun by this natural disaster. And so I had to get a perspective of what it's like down there and can think of no one better than to say, Tony Perkins, welcome.
Well, thank
you. Yeah, he can think of nothing better. So we get Tony Perkins. Very well put, very well put. Scott and Punky in San Diego, subject line, Tony's flood. Tell Tony the Bible says the rain falleth upon the just and the unjust. I'll let you sort out who's who, says Scott. Yeah, I think I got it sorted. Take it away, Tony.
Thanks again for filling in for me. I had taken a couple weeks vacation and taken some time off, and just as I was planning to come back, this is a flood of, I would have to say, near biblical proportions. Nothing like this, and I've been... involved in disaster relief, especially here in Louisiana, working in coordinating a relief effort through several hurricanes. This is unlike anything we've seen before. In fact,
How about that? It's unlike anything he's seen before, that flooding. And as he said, he's seen a lot of flooding. And he lives in Louisianistan. Interestingly, there are some climate models out there that show that, you know, by the end of this century, a whole bunch of Louisianistan is going to be part of the Gulf of Mexico. Why do you reckon? No, climate change, no. God's in charge. Yeah, oh, well.
We had to escape from our home Saturday by canoe. Our family...
You had to take a canoe. You didn't drive away from your home, and you couldn't walk. There was actually that much water that you got into a watercraft to exit your own home.
Damn. I mean, talk about a restater of the obvious. This... not a pause in sight.
We had about 10 feet of water at the end of our driveway. Our house flooded, our cars, a few of our cars flooded. Here's the significant thing about this is affected probably 80% of the community around here. And I know people who listen to Washington Watch know that I'm from Louisiana. I commute back and forth each week to Washington. But what I haven't talked about much on the air is that about a month and a half ago, our pastor of our church, probably the largest church in our community, left, and I was asked to serve as interim pastor, which I've been doing, but that's been mostly kind of overseeing things. And
you're an ordained minister yourself.
I am, and I've actually pastored this church before, and so now we have a church that actually got flooded. A lot of the property on the church sanctuary didn't, but all the other facilities did. We have about 80% of our membership that has been impacted by this.
Oh, goodness.
There's hardly a place you can turn where someone has not been affected by this. I mean, I'm talking about people without homes, people that have lost absolutely everything, and the majority of which had no flood insurance because they just didn't need it. This has never happened before. So it's a matter of picking up the pieces. We are, fortunately, we've got great partners like the Samaritan's Purse and Frank.
I knew there was going to be a pitch for Franklin Graham. I knew it without even having the transcript. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Partners. And people didn't need flood insurance because it had never happened before, right? Right. Except it is Louisiana, Stan, and the climate change models say that a whole bunch of that state's going to be underwater in the next 100 years. So you never know when it might start. So maybe you need the flood insurance, you know, after all. But Tony Perkins is a millionaire, okay? Tony Perkins has the lace skirts of the First Amendment to hide behind, I don't know what taffeta. The taffeta underskirts of the IRS code to back him up. Meanwhile, yes, nice observation. Kim in New York City says, I'm a little confused. Tony Perkins and the host of that show are acting like there was never a Hurricane Katrina. Well, it didn't affect Tony Perkins. It didn't leave bloated, good God fearing, upstanding, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual white bodies bobbing along in the fetid waters of the overbanked broken levee. Right? Yeah. I mean, that's why. This wireless mouse
is relief,
annoying me.
Team in our church that will be working to help get the mud out and begin tearing out the sheetrock of these homes. But so, if anybody wants to volunteer to do that, we're Samaritan's Purse is on the ground here working with us out of our church,
hustling money for all they're worth.
Obviously, making financial contributions to those impacted.
And Tony, where can they go to help? Either to volunteer man hours or
no?
To make
I was
kind of
hoping for a go to hell there
for their fellow Americans who are in dire circumstances. What's the website? Where can they go?
Yeah, skip a bit, brother. Marty pointing out, at least he didn't have to wait on his roof for assistance that never came. Yeah, there's that too. Skip a bit, brother.
Well, let me ask you, Tony. I mean, in Romans 8:28, Paul tells us that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. How is God in the face of these circumstances that on a horizontal level are so devastating and not in any sort of...
Oh, what the... does that even mean? And these events that on a horizontal level are so devastating. What does he want the water to be on, a vertical level? I mean, I know these people deny science, but damn! On a horizontal level. People who have been negatively impacted.
In a way that really impacts people to the core of their physical existence. I mean, the basics of where you sleep, where you call home, what you're going to eat and drink, and how you're going to care for your children. What has God been teaching you in showing his goodness to you in this?
But that's a very interesting question, because literally, this might come as a surprise to you, but I'm a pretty self-reliant person, all right? I'm normally in the...
Oh, now wait a minute! He's self-reliant person. You know, that IRS tax code and the First Amendment he hides behind, he's self-reliant. He's got goddamn bootstraps, do you understand? He's a self-reliant person. I mean, that's why he had a canoe there that he and his family could paddle out to their RV in. Yeah, they lit the RV, I guess, was on higher ground or something. But while their house flooded, the RV was okay, and they paddled from the house to the RV. Meanwhile, a little reality check here coming from Jack in Shreveport. And we haven't even gotten to talking about how the right-wing wealthy and corporations will use the flooding to change the political demographics of areas in the state and to use costly flood insurance to price people out of moving back to the flooded areas and to buy up cheap land. Well, of course. But then again, we also haven't discussed the fact that a lot of those assholes don't believe in climate change and don't acknowledge science and are going to be the proud owners of some Gulf of Mexico sometime soon. Well put. Well put, Carol Baker. He just described what poor people do every day to survive. What is Tony Perkins doing for them? You know the quick answer, Carol. Not a goddamn thing.
...of helping other people, not one that is eager to receive help. But as we had...
I never would have guessed that about you at all.
I figured you would.
But I'll tell you, people, if you've ever worked with Tony, you would understand... How funny that statement is. That's right.
You know, we threw a change of clothes in a duffel bag, and again, as you said, I've got five kids. There were seven of us in a kind of a oversized canoe and a piro, a small one, and we're paddling out. Finally, we got a tow by another little boat coming by that had a motor.
Lord have mercy.
Everything we had in duffel bag.
Jesus God, wait a minute. This guy wouldn't even row his own canoe? Well, God helps those who have canoes, right? Let's toss it back to Jim in the Weather Center. No, let's don't. Got a tow. Yeah.
Got picked up at the nearest dry spot. They took us to a church that had been turned into a shelter, which was not prepared. They turned us away. But in God's provision, a former church member who just happened to have moved and lived across the street from that happened to be there, took us to their home. We spent the night in their home, and then were able to get back to our property. And fortunately, had one, our motorhome, only got water underneath, so we're now, it's dry inside, so we're living in the, we're just camping all the time. So we're going to be...
They're just camping. That's what they're doing because they had a motorhome to go to. Notice how the church turned them away. Don't you for a minute think that there won't be some wrath visited upon that congregation. And it won't be the wrath of God. It'll be the wrath of Tony. Because I'm sure it was the wrong kind of church. You know, maybe it was one of those. Maybe it was some of those mackerel snappers. Oh, I'm sorry. Carol says, not a canoe, Bob, a watercraft. Oh, let's finish it out.
Great. As we try to put the pieces back together and help them.
And not the fun kind.
Yeah, not the fun kind. Just like the motorhome was not the small kind. It's an RV that sleeps seven. That's damn near Willie Nelson's tour bus. And it's all tax-free. And of course, it's all about him. You notice it's all about him? God's so good. That's why I had an RV that'll sleep 7, 8, 10 people and a boat to get to it in. And we'll be all right. The other 20,000 people, God'll take care of them or something. Except for those bastards at the church who wouldn't let us in. No. God's going to drop a big rock on them. Probably a tornado or something. I'm already working on it with the Almighty. Yeah, damn straight I am. Can you imagine the McMansion that Tony Perkins will build? Out of all of this, when the tax-free dollars start rolling in, I wish I could find it now. Courtesy of Michael and Madison, literally self-reliant. No, Bob. Very well done, Michael, as opposed to a Bob, which would have gotten you in serious trouble with Ron and Raleigh. No, Bob. I think you own no, Bob now, Michael. Play back the clip. He said he's literally self-reliant. Don't you know that in 2016, American English literally now means figuratively or even I'm being sarcastic? Literally. There is no canoe. Michael. There is no canoe. There's nothing but Zool. I can remember way back in the argot of the time when to say something was bad meant it was good. Man, that's bad, which meant it was good, which then morphed eventually into that's sick, which means that's excellent. Where's that Thorazine dart when I need it? But any way you slice it, the flooding in Louisiana has been profoundly undercovered. And just so you who participate in this little tiny community of ours can know, Monday was an interesting day in Huntington, West Virginia. Monday, let me see if I got this right. Michael, you tell me. Monday was literally an interesting day in Huntington, West Virginia. Huntington is not a big city. It can be and has been in the past. A pleasant place, broad avenues. It was once a booming town, sitting on the Big Sandy, or the Ohio? Can't remember. I don't know. It's the Ohio, I think. Oh no, whatever. And its rise was fueled by the rise of the coal industry. Named for Collis P. Huntington. At one point in time, it was the western terminus of the Chesapeake and Ohio Railway. As of about 1871. Something had been there since about 1775 in terms of white folks. Thousands of years before that, there had been an indigenous population there. The French were there as early as like 1609. It's across the river, not too far away from a place called Gallipolis, which one would think has something to do with the Gallipoli Peninsula. in Turkey, but doesn't. It means French city. The French went down the Ohio River. But anyway, there are about 50,000 people, according to the 2010 census. There are about 50,000 people in Huntington. So, with that as a scale, you can see how this might be a little bit surprising. Starting on Monday afternoon, calls started going into the 911 center in Campbell County, which is Huntington's the county seat. And over the course of four short hours, in a little bitty town, a little bitty river city in middle America, at least 27 heroin overdoses were reported. It's about 7 an hour. Now, 7 an hour is probably a slow day in New York or Detroit or Chicago, L.A., Atlanta. But 7 ODs an hour stretched emergency services to the breaking point in Huntington. In Huntington, and understand that West Virginia is absolutely on fire. Oh, I'm sorry, literally on fire. Oh, I hate myself. With a proliferation of heroin and opioids. The pill side of it was deliberately manufactured by the drug companies, for whom at the time our sitting attorney general was a lobbyist, a guy named Patrick Morrissey. Wouldn't trust him with the carcass of a dead skunk. But when the pill crackdown came, and thanks to our little dust-up in the graveyard of empires, a place called Afghanistan, heroin, well, we took their country, so they gave us a lot of heroin. And with the pill crackdown, people turned to heroin. And of course, because it's not standardized, it's just what you get is what you get. Well, the heroin addiction has gone through the roof. I'm sorry, literally through the roof here in almost level west by smack Virginia Stan. And so Huntington doesn't usually see 27 ODs in an entire week. They got that many in 4 hours. Is there good news here? Yes. Nobody died. Know why? Naloxone. In some cases, EMS workers had to double dose the naloxone to keep people from dying. And again, because there's no, because it's illegal, that making it a black market item. There's no standardization, and therefore anything can be in it. And one of the big anythings these days is a little something-something called fentanyl. You know, not from the drug company's fentanyl, but bathtub fentanyl. And it gives the heroin a whopping good high and will kill you deader than Pharaoh's cat. But it stretches the heroin and expands the profitability of it. This is called, by the way, capitalism. The black market narcotics industry is capitalism writ large. It is the model to which most major industry in the United States and around the world aspires. Maximizing profit, and who gives a damn about what happens in the wake of that search for profit? As of Tuesday, though, the ODs had subsided. And so the question arises, and probably doesn't matter, but how does a little bitty town on the Ohio River wind up being a source distribution point for smack? And if we can sort out how that happens, maybe we'll have a little time to work on why. I mean, one of the whys is literally the difficulty people now have in getting opiates in pill form. That's one of the whys. It's not all of the whys. This place, this state, and I presume because I haven't had to hit him with the tight dispersal stream from the flit gun, I presume Brother Deacon Gerald has not nodded off. Which is I'm not using the nod opiate term. I'm just been bored to sleep by me, kind. Gerald or any other member of our West Virginia chapter of the Horn Family Community Congregation can tell you that this state is in full, or at least the southern part of this state, is in full-on collapse. Now, I mean, there's no buildings burning or anything like that, but we are. It's coming apart here, and what a damn shame. But it's coming apart here at the same time that we're slowly coming to the realization that coal is not now, nor was it ever, our salvation. It has done things to our communities on a par with 27 heroin ODs from hot doses in the space of 4 hours. Let's remember, a few years ago, 29 people in a town far smaller than Huntington, West Virginia, Whitesville, West Virginia, 29 people. Well, they didn't OD over the course of 4 hours. They were incinerated over the course of far less than 4 minutes. Maybe more like 4 seconds. Huntington sits on the border with Kentucky. In West Virginia and Kentucky both, we have gun laws that say that, you got a pulse, kid? Well, here's your gun. As long as you can show something resembling a West Virginia ID, buy all you want. Same pretty much, Kentucky, West Virginia, same. So it's very easy to obtain firearms, and it creates a mercantile triangle. Well, maybe not a triangle, maybe a parallelogram. Between here and places like Philly, or here and places like Detroit, Detroit's just a straight shot from here. It's not even the biggest part of a day's drive. Slip in with a trunk load of heroin. Slip out with a trunk load of guns. Yeah, Brother Deacon Gerald says, yep, imploding. Just like the Viridian Star that Dr. Soren destroyed. There's another obligatory Star Trek reference. Yep. And I know that other places have opioid and heroin problems. This just happens to be the one that I'm familiar with. It'll destroy a place. But the next question that comes with this is it the drug itself that's doing the destroying? Or, and I realize I'm not talking about cannabis now, so this might get people upset. Is it the drug or is it the prohibition? I think it's a fair question. I don't necessarily know enough to know for sure, but can people who are addicted to opiates lead otherwise productive lives? Because I think I've read somewhere that they can. It's the hot doses. It's the desperate. It's the desperation that comes with fending off the junk sickness that wreaks the havoc in the communities. It's the illicitness of the capitalist black market trade that turns towns into shooting galleries. Mercifully, we do have naloxone in places like Huntington and Charleston now. This is something I'm not used to. I went to pick up Ferg at work after the program last night. And that's over Beckley Way. He actually gets done with work at 6 o'clock, but he has to wait until I get done here to go and get him. And we were taking another guy home with us. And the guy said, just mentioned along the way, yeah, I ain't eat all day. Well, you know me, because you know yourselves. We're like this. I can't hear that and not do anything about it. So given the hour, I stopped at a little convenience store at the intersection of US 19 and the turnoff to Glen Jean. And I had no idea, but after 9 o'clock, and you know, I've seen this in cities. It was not completely alien to me, but in West Virginia it was. Not only was it alien, it was surprising. The place that we stopped is kind of by several miles, not to Beckley, and it was a couple of miles south of Mount Hope. Mount Hope is on fire, literally. I'm trying here, Michael. I'm trying real hard, trying to get with the program, with opiates and heroin. And so I pulled in at this convenience store thinking, well, I can at least get this guy, you know, a sandwich. And the doors were locked. Store was open, but you had to go through, you know, you slide out the drawer, slide in the money, slide the, and, you know, bulletproof glass and all of that stuff. Now, maybe it's a matter of privilege that I would say something like that, like this, but that is not typical of, or has not been typical of, the West Virginia I know. And God knows, not the West Virginia that I love. But I guess it's our new normal. A new normal in a hopeless population that has no prospect. Where we splash front page news all over the paper when somebody that wants to make bullets says they're going to set up a factory in the eastern end of Kanawha County. A beautiful little tourism economy that's great for the people at the top of the heap, but consigns the people who do the heavy lifting to an 8 month out of the year at best economy that pays either minimum wage or sub minimum wage plus tips. And that's the dark underbelly of the so-called new tourism economy. Because in many ways, all it is the old low wages economy. I don't know why I brought this up in the middle of in the middle of prayer meeting Wednesday. Sometimes I just like to share a little bit of the old small town reality. That informs my life here. It's a frightening reality. Agnes and I will probably get by. But I got no answers for the generation that my kids belong to, our kids belong to. And even fewer, and something manifesting more as fear, the generation to which my grandchildren, our grandchildren, belong. Subject line, Pharma H. David in South Carolina says, Keith Richards back when he was doing heroin, details how he always got his in Merck-sealed bottles, as one would find in hospitals. Though it certainly was not healthy, the dope was pure with no additives. Not that he had not bought stuff off the street when he was strung out so bad. Still relates to money, though. An average person could not get hospital-grade heroin. No. No, you know what it comes wrapped in? There was a photo accompanying the Charleston Gazette article that I was working with. A dose in West Virginia will often come wrapped in one of the little sheets that in which one fills in the dots to mark one's lottery numbers. How literally ironic. Because everybody who buys it, everybody knows that it is in and of itself its own sort of lottery. But a deadly one. So it's 3 minutes past eight. Here on the East Coast in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Thanks to everybody who has jumped in to help fill in the fundraising hole this evening. With any luck at all, we'll find a few more people to jump in alongside
alongside Pam and Cletus and Cat Stevens. Oh, I'm sorry, 125. And Glenn. Thank you, Glenn. And Jeremy. $125 to go. And, hey, this does not have to be a filibobster. You're free to participate in the conversation if you so choose. You know how to reach the program. Don't be shy. Don't hide your light under a bushel. You know, you get to stand up here in this particular cathedral and talk and engage in conversation. Yeah, find me another church where that happens. You know the numbers I trust? The Stress Line, named after the immortal Bill, Mr. Stress Miller, 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. And the other number, 304-574-8178. And from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn via Skype. Jump in if the spirit moves you. We'll be back.
She asked for her mama's bathrobe and a pot of potato soup. She gonna dry out this time if it kills her. She wants the whole family in the loop. She can outsmart death like a stunt man. She's a cat with 99 lives. She's my heroin addict sister. And I've known her all my life. She's my heroin addict sister. And I hate to see her go. And I hate to see her holding on the end of the same old rope. She pushes a tiny needle. It's like the devil's DNA. It takes her somewhere she just gotta go, but can't afford to stay. She stripped for a while in Connecticut. Been married at least 5 times. Every one of them men was crazy about her, so she married a couple of them twice. She's a certified underwater welder. She can cook, clean, and crochet. She can flash a smile from her sweet, weary soul that'll melt all your doubts away. She's my heroin addict sister, and I hate to see her go. And I hate to see her holding on at the end of the same old rope. She's high at the homeless shelter when she's had it out with my niece. She don't notice the holes in her clothes or perverted Orlando police. Been so mad I wanted to kill her. So worried I had to cry. Such crazy stories I can't help but laugh. So scared when she's gonna die. She called outside of Atlanta. Been dodging in big old trucks. You know she cleaned up in Tennessee one time before. She just needs a couple hundred bucks. And she just needs to be with us. I'll say thank God mama ain't here to go through it this time. She's in heaven telling them Macon County cops better give her baby a ride. And they got to her just in time. She's my heroin addict sister, and I hate to to see her go. And I hate to see her holding on to the end of same old road. The end of same old road. Always at the end of the road.
From 2010, Elizabeth Cook, from the album Welder, and Heroin Addict Sister. Beautiful, beautiful album. Beautiful song. Painful song. And one that becomes more representative, I guess, every day. Thanks to Brother Deacon Asa. I guess the plate just came back to him. And darned if he didn't take the fundraising goal down to $78.14, courtesy of 400 Swedish kroners. Mm-hmm. Swedish kroners. Darn Skippy. So thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. I had to do some. Thank God there was music going at the moment, because I had to do some ciphering inside my noggin. Let's go over to line. Let's go over to the 8178 line and see what's happening out in Massachusetts. Hey, what's happening?
Hi, Bob.
Yes.
Hi, it's Carl again.
Hey, Carl, how you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, that religious dirtbag that you were playing earlier.
Which one? Wait. No. That's too general, Carl. Which religious dirtbag?
The one who got flooded out and had to take
Tony Perkins there.
Yeah, that religious dirtbag. Well, actually, he's not a dirtbag as much as a douche nozzle.
Wait. Given the content of the story before I can be corrected by Sister Carol Baker, he's a douche canoe.
Okay, that's even a better one. Yes. Anyway, after Katrina, wasn't he one of those assholes who said God's punishing them?
You know, I don't know that for a fact, but I would not be surprised.
There were so many of them assholes who did that. Right?
They were all over the place.
Why doesn't somebody ask him, what did you do for God to smite you? Somebody just needs to ask that asshole that and get him on tape. Why did why?
Oh, but Carl, you know the answer, though, right, brother? It's not anything that he did. It's what all those homosexual, secular, abortionist, LGBT women who won't go to the bathroom like God wants them to did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and getting on that, every time I hear somebody say, I don't want my daughter going to, well, what about the hermaphrodites? Where do you, and they, the what?
The who?
What do you mean? Yeah, a lot of transsexuals are because they had something snipped off by a doctor who didn't know what he was doing because they were born with two pieces.
I think the technical medical term for that now is intersexed.
Intersexed?
Yeah, people born with plumbing from both sides of the XY chromosome aisle. Yeah.
I didn't know it changed. But when you explain it to them, they either are in such a disbelief or they just tell you that you are lying. And it never happens. You know, that then I'd get pictures of these real good real good looking transsexual men or women, either or, that the women who were actually, men, and they look more manly than me, or the men who were actually women and look more feminine than these guys' wives. Which is which?
Well, yeah, in the case of the trans women, they only find out, Carl, when the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals start making passes at them.
Yes. Yes.
And they say something like, "Piss off, mister."
Yeah. But I,
it's the same hypocrisy. It's just a different topicality. I mean,
they always have somebody. They need somebody to hate. They really do. That's all they're interested in, is hating somebody.
Right.
And if they can't find, and when, you know, I work with so many people, like this one foreman that I have right now, or superintendent, whatever the fuck you want to call him. I work heavy construction, big stuff. I do this stuff for bridges. So, and this one guy, his wife is too young to get Medicaid and retire, or Medicare. He is, but he has to, her job, she sells antiques or something like that, and she can't get insurance. So this bastard is just miserable, and he has to work, you know, it's a union job, so he has to work 1,400 hours a year once he gets this 12 or 14, whatever it is, for his union. He lays himself off. And he's just miserable. And his thing is, the reason why he wants Trump, and this guy, he talks down to everybody because he's got 5 years going to UMass Amherst, and that's how you get a 4-year degree at UMass Amherst. You have to go there 5 or 6 years. It's a party.
Yeah, right.
Party,
yeah.
College.
Yeah, most of my fraternity brothers at WVU back in the day were on the 6-year plan.
Yes. And so he talks down to everybody. He's so much smarter. But it's just funny because he's so smart and his vocabulary is so pristine and everything. You know, if you pronounce something wrong, he'll correct you right away. You know, and he's being duped by fucking Trump, a guy with a third grade fucking education. My kid's going into fourth grade next year, and Trump is being duped by a third grader. Or this asshole's getting duped by a Trump. You know, it's just
But Carl, he's not. He's not being duped. Trump is the vehicle of the hatreds that he has otherwise heretofore not been able to fully express or externalize.
Yes, he's using it as a vessel to get out his hatred towards whoever he hates. And I mean, this guy went on about Carter, and just, you know, Carter was so bad, and I looked at him and said, "Mom, do we have any wars with Carter in office?" No, he hit it. Why? And then he went on about he had to buy Cobra insurance couple of years ago, and he bought it the year before, and then after Obamacare, blah blah blah, it doubled. I just looked at him. I said, "So, an insurance company doubled your premium that you had to get secondary because you didn't make enough hours for insurance, and you're blaming that on Obamacare?" I just looked at him. "You don't understand. You don't know."
Yeah, whatever happened to the Republican Party and all that daggum personal responsibility, right?
Yeah. But he did spend a lot of money on Cobra health insurance.
Oh, Cobra is expensive as hell.
Yeah, because there's no limitations. They could do whatever they want. They could treat you like a bag of shit. As long as they get your money and make a profit, they don't give a fuck. And that's what, you know, it could cost you $2,000 a month, and they don't care as long as they get their money. You know, I said to him one day, I said, "You know, when before Obamacare got passed, he wanted a public option. And this guy's miserable. He's just miserable to work with. And I said, you know, you could be retired if you had the public option because your wife could have just bought into Obamacare and had insurance. I don't want no Obamacare. All right, well, I'll pay for, you know, why don't you retire and pay for Cobra? But these people, they don't understand. They really don't.
Oh, no.
It's just really...
No, because it can't possibly be anything about them, and it can't possibly be doing any, be anything about the rapacious insurance companies, because there's a black man in their White House.
Yes. Oh, I'll wait till the woman gets in there. I'm hoping she gets in. I wish it was Bernie, but could you imagine how much what they would be if Bernie actually had gotten the primary and blew away Trump? Could you imagine the Jew jokes and the Jew this and he's only... Oh, my God. It's going to be... I think it's going to even be worse with Hillary because they're going to make PMS jokes and all these idiots who don't know anything about the female body are going to think that she's PMSing and she's doing the woman's thing. And it's, I could forecast this now. Because most of these Republicans... I told you about that idiot friend of mine. The one that I call a Republicard. The one who told me years back that schools shouldn't give sex ed because he'll teach his daughter the birds and the bees. But he didn't have a clue one about why women have PMS and why they bleed once a month. He had no clue that the egg gets flushed out once a month. I was just like,
no, they're just sitting. They're all just sitting there in the in the fallopian tubes. You know, kind of like eggs on the grocery store shelves.
Yeah.
They're just waiting until Jesus comes down and reaches into a woman's insides and plucks one out and turns it into a precious little baby.
Yeah. Well, this guy isn't religious, but still, I just looked at him. I'm like, you don't know why a woman goes through menstrual cycle every month? That his jaw dropped open. Just totally dropped open when he had women trying to explain this to him. And here's a 56 or 57 year old man. Had no clue. He's also the one who, you know, you should pull your own weight. You know, his parents paid for everything, and he paid. You know, he pulled his feet up, but himself up by his own bootstraps. But he was a illegitimate child, and his mother married somebody who was a career Air Force man.
Oh, by the way, courtesy of we've got a little clarification here. Courtesy of Texas T. Yes, Tony Perkins responded favorably to a creep by the name of Jonathan Kahn, who back in 2015 said that Hurricane Joaquin was God's wrath for the Supreme Court legalizing gay marriage, legal abortion, and the United Nations treatment of Israel.
Ugh.
So, yeah. And by the way, included in this link that Tony sent me, and I realize this creates a problem because it's radio, but there's a photograph here of Tony Perkins' awfully damned nice house, you know, with water up to the bottoms of the cars. I mean, it sits back among amongst a clearing from among what are probably a bunch of live oaks and, you know, the kind of stuff that grows down there. There's probably Spanish moss all over the place, that kind of thing. He's not living the life of a poor servant of Christ Jesus, Carl, in case you were wondering.
Oh, no, they never do.
And by the way, you'll get a kick out of it. I didn't have this part in the clip, but it's worth mentioning. He declared that this particular event was that it wasn't punishment for anything. He described it as...
Oh, it must be global warming then.
No, no, no. It's an incredible, encouraging spiritual exercise to take you to the next level in your walk with an almighty and gracious God who does all things well. We are worthy of suffering for his sake. So, you know, there's been a bunch of people killed in that flooding, Carl. And Tony Perkins is out there praising God that they've taken their walk with God to the next level. I mean, come on, Jehovah, really, lightning bolt, okay? You got to have one laying around. I know you borrowed them all from Zeus. Just one right there, Tony Perkins, right up the dip, and just dip, and you know, take him to the next level, God.
Yes. Yes. Put him, you know, that's what I don't get when the when somebody, a non-Christian, dies, somebody they hate. Oh, that's because God, blah blah blah. But when somebody like Tony Perkins dies, they say, oh, well, Jesus wanted him home. God wanted him home.
I know. And it's almost enough to make you believe in it, just so you can imagine God up there going, I didn't call anybody, baby. But I've got a, you know, I got a little spot for you down there in the lake of eternal fire with the devil and his angels. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
I can't wait. I cannot wait till Dick Cheney dies. I have a bumper sticker planned or a banner somewhere.
Bumper sticker? I've got a parade planned.
No, I'm gonna hang a banner up somewhere so that, you know, 10,000 people get the day driving by on a street can see it. Because they say, hey, Dick, hope you brought some shorts. It's supposed to be real hot down there.
Yeah, or maybe don't forget the wooden stake. You know. Yeah, just pound, 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 pound. Because I don't think we recycle hearts, do we?
I just feel sorry for the heart that's beating in him. I really do. Do you think he kept his old heart?
Oh, it's probably pickled. It's probably pickled in a jar on his desk. Yeah, something like that. You know, he probably takes it out and plays with it like silly putty.
Or he fed it to his daughter there, the whack job.
The whack job is now the Republican nominee for Congress and will likely be the member of Congress from Wyoming stand now.
Oh, she's such a cunt.
Oh!
I'm sorry to say that. I am sorry to say that, but, oh, I hate that woman. I hate that woman.
I'll see if I can get you some absolution and penance from the female members of the Horn Family Community Congregation.
The only woman that's on par with is it Liz Cheney? Anyways, is the one with the pink testicle. Actually, and I think Sarah Palin's right up there too. I think they're all on par with each other. Oh my God, Sarah Palin is just, you can just listen to her so much and you realize, okay, she's...
Yeah, you know, I don't, Carl, I don't even click the links anymore, brother. I got no time in my life to even so much as hear that woman breathe.
I like showing her picture of when she came out of the gym with her hair not on, with her... No, because she's got that real short hair, but she wears a wig. And she didn't have any makeup on, and she looked horrible. She looked horrible. She looked like a used-up Barbie doll. She looks horrible. That polish and paint makes things pretty that really ain't.
I think we're talking about airbrushing. Yes.
No. How she? Oh no. She must use a spackle.
Says the guy involved in heavy construction. You'd know.
Yes. I mean, she. You can tell it's her. She's got these beady little eyes, and she just. I mean, she's 50-something years old, but she looks a lot older than she is. She looks...
Oh, by the way, I have to tell you, Carl, I have to tell you, Carol Baker, who's in charge of this sort of thing, just typed in all caps, absolution granted.
Thank you, Carol. Those three women. At least Sarah Palin isn't in power anywhere.
This table's solid wood. Hang on. Knocking wood. Yeah, just right. Yeah. Well, Carl, good to hear from you, my friend.
Yeah. You have a nice night.
All right, take it easy. I look forward to our next conversation.
Yeah, you too.
All right, later. Bye now. Calling from the Commonwealth, as Charlie Pierce says, God save it, of Massachusetts. That's our buddy. That's our buddy Carl. And by the way, I always like to mention our subscribers, the people who are monthly subscribers, and they're the ones who kept who knocked it down overnight, knocked down the fundraising goal overnight. And this evening's thank you to the subscribers includes our buddy Laborman, our buddy Trey in Kentucky Stan, who was in the chat room a little bit ago. Thank you, Trey. Kim in New York City. And Nancy in New York State. Thank you, one and all, for your help this evening. And a note from Jug of Punch in the chat room. Have a my 8/18/1955 birthday present from us hornies. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Jug. That takes us down to $23.14. $23.14 to go to come even. And now we're past even. Thank you. Thank you, Charles in Florida. Wait a minute. It is a prayer meeting Wednesday miracle. All right, boys. You can, and ladies, we're not hung up on dogma. There's lady deacons too. I mean, Sister Carol. You can unlock the sanctuary doors, dear God, Gerald. I hope you're ready. Oh my, there they go. Well, I'll just finish the program for the next 29 minutes while folks trickle out and trickle back in. Now that the fundraising goal's been met and the sanctuary doors have been unlocked. And remember, please don't create any more plumbing problems for the Building and Grounds Committee. Pretty please. Absolutely. As Gerald points out, and he would know, Sister Carol Baker is the chair of the Committee on Committees without portfolio. Meanwhile, note coming in from Cindy in the Great Northwest. Subject line, Cheney? Dick Cheney will never die because they're just going to bolt his head onto a big box with a sign on it called Captain Pike. Beep once for yes, twice for no. Beep, beep, beep. Hey, Dick, you want to invade a country and kill a million or so? Beep! Uh-huh, yep. Could it be? I hope it is. It might be. Is it Tracy?
Yes, I needed prayer meeting Wednesday. I needed your voice to wash over me and free me and make me...
Well, hold on here. Hey, glory! Okay.
That helps. I've just been having one of these, you know, those days where you got to wonder why people insist upon fucking with me on Facebook.
Oh, no. And, have the trolls been out?
Well, I have this a relationship with this female on Facebook. She's a Republican, and for the most part, we agree to disagree and stuff. And I posted basically about thank you for, you know, I think I talked about this yesterday about how there's a meme about thank you, you know, Trump, at least I know which one of my friends are racist and bigots and hate, you know, whatever. And of course, she got her panties all up in a bunch. Well, I, you know, and I proudly support my candidate. And I'm like, well, good for you. But I, you know, I can't imagine why you want to support somebody, you know, that's this and that and that. And then, of course, she goes, well, you know, I have friends that are Muslim. I was married to a Muslim. And I love it when white people go, well, I was married to a black person. And I was
That certainly sorts it out for everybody else. One person. Thank you.
Right. You know, that's one person. You know, and it's, they're so quick. Well, I'm not a racist because I'm like, no, you can still be a racist. Just because you're married to one person doesn't mean that, you know, you have no ill will towards other people in that, you know, in that religion or whatnot and so forth. So, yeah, and she sent me this thing about living, living in fear and stuff like that. She's like, well, I just live for the moment and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, can you pass that non-fear-based thing to the rest of the folks in your party and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't get the chance to respond because she's like, well, I can't tell people how to do this. And I'm like, but as a Christian, aren't you supposed to? You know, if people start talking about hateful things and all this and giving into fear, aren't you supposed to not like live like that? I'm just saying.
Yes, I know. Oh, by the speaking of Facebook, I have to tell you, run by my Facebook page if you haven't seen it already.
I saw the meat.
Yeah, that steak sandwich we were talking about last night.
Yeah, I saw the meat.
It had to happen again.
So what's this? When I heard about what was this about blueberry and Worcestershire?
Blackberry.
Oh, what the? Explain that to me and explain it to me quickly because I need to know.
Okay, I'm brand loyal on my Worcestershire. I like Lee and Perrins. You know, they invented the stuff.
Of course.
So I get if you're going to do, you know, a couple of those things, you'll need a whole large bottle. And you put it in a saucepan and just put the stove on, you know, low. And then you get a bottle of the all fruit blackberry spread, preferably seedless.
Yes.
And you work it in there. You don't let it boil. You don't want it to caramelize or scorch or anything. But just let that blackberry spread melt into and marry with the Worcestershire. And then that, after it cools off, and you've seasoned your flat iron steaks, that becomes your marinade. And then if you want to get, you know, real hardcore about it, before you marinate, you set some aside so that when you're done, you can make it a sort of like, you know, au jus kind of thing.
Why are you messing with me, Holmes? Oh, my God.
You asked me. No, sugar. You asked me.
No, okay. You're right. I am.
But the other thing you see in that photo is the last 1-pound package of the Kaneka sausage I've been telling you about that you can't get in California.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, oh, land and oceans. And I have a feeling. Bye, sweetheart. That I think the more you talk about it, I think we're going to have that for my gumbo party.
You're going to have more people there than you can handle.
Come New Year's Day, I think that I'm going to have to do that because it just sounds like it's going to be a wonderful thing. And I haven't had a chance because I did put it in my whatchamacallit, I did put it on my Google, so I have it in my hidden history, so I know where to order it from. Because I think it's something that I'm going to have to do. I really do, because I just think it sounds like Nirvana. I think that, you know, heaven's from, you know, manna from heaven kind of thing happening. Because that, you know me, I haven't been inspired in a while to cook, you know, because Jan is, you know, she still hasn't really healed that much. Well, I mean, she's healing, but she's still being kind of persnickety. And that's a nice way of saying bitchy. So
somebody isn't listening right now, is she?
She never listens. And even if she does, I don't care. Because that's basically what I said there as I was walking out the door a little while ago. So that's why I walked out the door.
See, that's what I thought.
It's like, it's one of those things where, you know, the longer you've been with someone and you realize that when the conversation starts to get ugly, and you, no matter what you do to try to diffuse the situation, it's not going to work. So I'm learning just to say, I'm out. And I will come back when I think you have calmed down. Because if I stay here any longer, one or two things are going to happen. Either one of us is going to say something that we're going to regret later that we can't take back, or I'm going to catch a case. Neither situation is very good.
No, that's sort of a no-win scenario now, isn't it?
It's a no-win. That's one of those things where, you know, it's a no-win situation. So in order to keep me from, you know, catching a case and going to jail, I just choose now to walk away. So I walked away. And, you know, again, I'm a very, you know, I could be by myself. I'm one of those people, I don't need people to feel needed. You know, I'm fine by myself. Jan on the other hand, not so much. So, and I know there's a lot of people like that who can't handle, as much as they tell you to go away and leave them alone, the minute that you do decide to listen to them and go away and leave them alone, then they get even more upset. Kind of a, is that what you call a catch frickin' 22 there, Bob?
In all of its magnificent glory, yes. As the book itself says, that's some catch, that catch 22, to which the other guy responds, it's the best there is.
Because it's like you get to that point that you just feel that no matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter how much you try to calm somebody down, it's not going to work. And they're just going to be pissed off at you regardless. Or should I say, here we go.
Well, besides catch 22, Tracy, you can also call
that.
You
didn't hear me.
I did.
You hear what I just, you just chose to ignore me. Okay.
No, I'm not ignoring. But I just want to let you know that there's another way of viewing it, or another way of referring to it, and that is, to wit, it is also a Kobayashi Maru.
Oh.
Star Trek reference. You know, we love our Star Trek references around here.
Yeah, we love. Speaking of which, have you seen the latest one? I haven't been to the movies. No.
I haven't. I've been toying with the idea, but and you know, when it comes to things that you'll spend money to see on the big screen, great big sci-fi spectacles are way up on the list.
Exactly.
But I haven't, and I've seen reviews saying that it's surprisingly not sucky.
Right. Like, they're raving about it.
But
the only problem is, it's going to be hard for me to watch.
I still don't like the idea of the whole reboot.
Really?
You know, differently unfolding timeline thing.
Okay, you're a purist.
Well, I don't want to say that. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
It's just that there's a history there. And so now we're running off down a different timeline. And, well, it doesn't. And, I mean, I'm a purist.
I'm letting you go on and on. I'm like,
oh yeah, okay. I'm just you know getting right up there on my own petard, and yeah.
And I'm like, okay, keep going. You're up here, and there's nothing wrong with
and,
that.
And may I also add, nerd, big geeky nerd. I want one of those t-shirts that's like the meme I once saw that said, it's got a picture of the Enterprise and the Millennium Falcon in it, and it said, which ship would win in a battle between the Millennium Falcon and the Enterprise? And underneath it said, I don't know, I'll be out having sex while you geeks figure that out. You know, the implication being that, you know, they're never going to get laid.
It never, ever. But see, you know, I don't have an issue with you being a purist because, like you just said about the Worcestershire sauce. Shire sauce. There's certain things that you don't mess with. You know, on those occasions that I do get by mayonnaise, I don't mess around. I get Best Foods. You know, there's Best Foods mayonnaise. There's Heinz ketchup. You know, there's certain things that
you didn't say mayonnaise, did you?
Didn't I just say on those occasions? Remember,
well, okay.
What color is my wife?
Just checking.
I can't buy store brand for mayonnaise. You know,
no, that's just nasty.
Right, and then I didn't even realize because you know I thought.
And do not bring home any of that salad dressing crap. That Miracle Whip, disgusting.
When I see those commercials with Miracle Whip touting, oh, it's the unmayonnaise or whatever the hell. This is nasty. It's just like using, you know, we try to use air fresheners to cover up a big old crap. It's just sweet boo-boo, okay? It doesn't take the smell away.
Well, and now you'll be happy to know in the chat room that Steve from Georgistan has started the great white people mayonnaise controversy. He said, Bob, you've got to defend Duke's mayo. And Duke's isn't bad. And you know what else is? If you're down south, blue plate, baby, blue plate.
Well, isn't when you're down south, isn't Best Foods Hellman's or something?
Yeah, it's Hellman's, yeah. But when you get seriously south, you're talking about your Dukes or your blue plate.
Well, my brother, who was born and raised out here, who I know is black because we have the same heritage, the last time I went to visit, I do what I call ghetto tacos. And go ahead and say, so Tracy, pray tell, what is a ghetto taco? So how I make a ghetto taco is, you know, typically you fry your shell, and then after the shell is fried or what have you, then you put your fixings in your meat, your cheese, your lettuce, tomato, whatever. Well, for me, a ghetto taco is while I'm frying the tortilla, I put in the ground beef and then the cheese, and then I fry it that way. And then once you take
it. Oh, I think I just had a chest pain.
Yes, that. And then, of course, after the, you know, it's fried, you know, deep fried, then I open it up and put in more cheese. And then the rest of the fixing, you know, salsa, chips, you know, salsa, whatever.
Yeah.
So the last time I was in Georgia, I was visiting him in Atlanta, you know, they're like, because there's certain things that I must cook when I go visit my brother.
Right.
I didn't do gumbo last, did I? No, I didn't do gumbo. But usually it's for breakfast. I make biscuits. I'm like, wait a minute, your wife is from making Georgia. Why am I making biscuits? But that's a whole other conversation. So I do biscuits and, you know, pig candy for, and, you know, grits and stuff like that for breakfast. I make ghetto tacos and, oh, a banana pudding.
Oh.
You know, so those are those things that I make when I go visit. So everybody's all happy about the tacos. So, you know, I get, you know, because there's no such thing as La Victoria salsa in Georgia. That's just definitely a California thing. So I usually bring the salsa with me and what have you. So I have all the stuff ready to go. My brother goes into the refrigerator and gets out mayonnaise. And I didn't know what he was going to do with the mayonnaise. He goes to put mayonnaise on the taco. I about lost my shit. I said, what? Seriously?
And why not? And why not? Purist. Why not, purist?
Mayonnaise. And like I said, purist. I mean, I'll even let you get away with ketchup, okay? But mayonnaise?
You know, we have become largely an anti-ketchup family around here. Ferg started that. He can't abide ketchup. And you know, long ago, I mean, my idea of the perfect burger is, you know, griddle fried and the bun toasted in the grease. Oh, just don't send me the emails. And fresh ripe tomato, fresh leaf lettuce, you know, not those godforsaken shreds in a bag. Good pickle, good onion, and then cheese, mayo, and mustard. No ketchup.
Yep.
No ketchup.
Well, see, for me, if you ever been to Bob's Big Boy, they have hamburger relish, which is basically ketchup and relish, but it works.
Oh, that sounds a little dodgy. Now, I've seen hot dog relish, which is sweet relish with mustard in it.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's a funky taste with that. It really, really is. It really, really is. It's kind of
Is it halfway to Thousand Island?
No. No. Because, see, Thousand Island has what? Mayonnaise.
No, it doesn't.
Isn't Thousand Island? I don't think Thousand Island dressing is mayonnaise.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Ketchup and relish. I think if you do it the right way, I think that's all it is. It's Thousand Island. It's just, and I'm just trying not to just throw up a little bit in my mouth. Like I said, I have my mayonnaise moment.
I mean, that's the same thing as your McDonald's special sauce.
Yeah.
It's Thousand Island dressing.
It's this freaking Thousand Island, and, you know, and God help me, because I know I'm going to get people from California and whoever has ever had an In-N-Out burger, that's all the spread is. Because, you know, and I don't get the spread. I will get, when I get my burger animal style, with no spread. And if Tim is if Tim and Billable Rick are listening, they know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't, like I said, since I've been with Jan in the last 4 years, my mayonnaise intake has increased significantly. I've eaten more stuff that has mayonnaise based in the last 4 years than I have in the first 46 years of my life.
Yeah. Just to keep us up on films, got a note in from Robert in Australia. New sci-fi movie may be worth a look, Arrival, coming out later this year. Arrival. He says the teaser trailer looked interesting, the first official trailer looks interesting, but with the usual reservations about Hollywood.
Right. I mean, I can't remember the last movie that I actually went to see, because I just haven't had the time and the inclination. And now at this point, now that we have our new television, I'm just waiting until stuff comes on Blu-ray now. Because my TV, the new one is...
Agnes and I started watching something the other night on Amazon Prime, a series called Humans.
I heard of... Wait, do you have Netflix?
And Amazon Prime, yes.
Okay, have you heard of The Get Down?
No.
Okay. Let's just say that my son has been talking about it, and I totally forgot about it. So I finally watched it on Saturday. It's part one, basically is 6 hours, six episodes. Why did I sit and watch it for the whole 6 hours? And so basically it's set in the Bronx in 1977, when disco is at its height, and hip-hop is starting. Grandmaster Flash is one of the executive producers.
Oh, no kidding.
Curtis.
And it's called again what?
The Get Down. It is, it's, I haven't had that. I'm sitting there grooving. I'm thinking about how my 11-year-old self listening to, you know, hip-hop for the first time, you know, Sugar Hill Gang. And, you know, back when rap had a message, one of my favorite parts in the movie is, or in the show, is when they're getting ready to do a rap battle, right? And one of the guys, they were doing the lyrics, and he started to cuss. And one of the guys like, no, we don't cuss. That's not what we're doing here. It was just the most awesome thing. And it's by directed and produced by Baz Luhrmann, I guess his name is, the guy that did, you know, Moulin Rouge and all that, but not as, you know, but.
Yeah, by the way, Moulin Rouge, a movie I completely did not get.
Who did? It was all about the visuals. It's about the.
And you know what the final indignity was? The butchery.
What?
The absolute butchery, the changing of that line. In Lady Marmalade.
Yeah.
Down in old Moulin Rouge, please, what, go to hell? I mean, do you remember that? Did that just crawl up and down your spine when that happened, Tracy?
It did. You know, it's like, you know, there's certain things you don't mess with, and Miss Patti LaBelle is one of them. You just don't. There's just certain things. It's like that. I mean, you talk about, you know, when people call these things are an abomination, but
that was.
But definitely get the Get Down. There's another thing on Amazon Prime with the Catastrophe. About the they meet up for a one night stand.
I tried that. I couldn't go there. I mean, it just didn't. Nah, it didn't do it for me.
It takes a minute.
I gave it the whole pilot.
Really?
Yeah. I guess I'm a geezer. I spent all my time cringing, Tracy.
You're not a geezer. You're Bob. Kincaid.
Yeah, but
you're not a geezer.
But I'll binge watch things. I will. But if you don't get me in the pilot, you know, I mean, I'm still pissed off that there were a couple of things that that they just let go by the boards. That John Goodman vehicle where they were all Republican senators. They did two very good seasons and then walked away. Alpha House.
Yeah, I forget sometimes that I have Netflix on Amazon, and then I'm like, oh wait, I can watch something other than broadcast television, especially, you know, because we're in the summer.
There was another, I think it was called Betas, about techno startup nerds, and it had a really, really good ensemble cast, and, you know, just walked away from that. I mean, at least wrap it up and put a ribbon on it at the end, for Christ's sakes, please.
And that's the kind of stuff, and see, this is why it's hard for me to invest any of my time into television shows, because why I wind up binge, you know, waiting until, like, I never even got into The Blacklist. Because I was so terrified that it would go away when I got into it. So I actually binged watched of last month the first three seasons because it was on Netflix. And I enjoyed it. But it's like, I can't stand those shows that you get into it, like Freaks and Geeks and stuff like that, which are amazing shows, and then they're gone. Or Firefly.
That one pisses me off.
Shows that are really cool, and then they're gone. And it's like, and then you get your feelings hurt. It's like that. So, I know it's
what you know. You need your own like weekly show, Tracy, that we could run on the weekends. You know, Netflix online with Tracy or whatever. And just,
you know, I've been told I would love to do something like that.
I think that would be fun.
I could do weekly. I can handle weekly. I was listening to you when you first started, and I know you got to go. I just every day you, I thank God for you because I don't have the patience or the not even the patience, just attention span.
Well, I can tell you this much: we made it through the first episode of Humans. And we've been sitting there looking at each other going, are we going to watch episode two? Yeah, we're going to watch episode two. And then we fall asleep. But it'll happen.
So
Tracy, I got to get out of here, though, dear.
Go.
All right. You take care.
Good night.
Bye. And thanks, everybody, for getting us out of a week-long hole. That means there's going to be a couple of bills paid tomorrow. We'll get going with Thorn in the Side Thursday, right? Well, before we even know it, tomorrow evening, it's a little less than 21 hours away. All right, I'm going to go over and check out Malloy. What are y'all going to do? Talk to you later. Thanks, everybody. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.